Friends, let us unite in prayer. Lord, it is to you that we turn our attention as we listen for you and to you and to your voice. Speak to us, Lord, your servants heareth. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord. You are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. You've got to practice for the rugby that follows after church. So can I get an amen?
Amen.
I believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. If anything speaks to your spirit, speak out loud. It's in practice for what happens at 10:45. But you won't be there because we'll dismiss at 11:30. The way that the book of Habakkuk is structured is like this. Habakkuk is considered to be one of the prophets. And the way that the book, the chapters are structured for us is firstly in the first chapter, there is a question, the first question that is asked. And I wonder if you will consider with me as we go through our homily of this morning. It sounds as if Habakkuk could have written about the South African context at a time such as this. So the first question that Habakkuk asks in the first chapter, simply put in one sentence, is, why, O God, don't you do anything about the evil all around us? Just the other day, Cheryl was sharing with us that we needed to pray because there were children being sold to Nigerians. If the child girl was a virgin, she was sold for 750 rand only. And if it was a child that wasn't a virgin, for a mere 200 rand. Why, O God, do you not do anything about the evil? And then as you consider the reading from the first chapter and the verses leading after verse 4, God actually answers the first question and simply stated, but in profound divinity, just two words where the Lord answers and he says, I am. But it does call for us to be patient and to trust God because it's the timing is all about God's timing and not our timing as God's people. A third section of Habakkuk is then where he asks a second question, where he actually reprimands God and he says, how dare you bring the Chaldeans to judge us? They are worse than we are. God answers again and he says, don't you worry, I will judge them too. But then follows the last, which is the prophet's prayer of faith. And I want to ask that of you this morning. It's Stewardship Sunday. We baptized Carla Lee. What is your personal prayer of faith? So you all know that parents have a particular understanding. There's a good cop and a bad cop. Everybody have that? Or is there one parent that's both? Good cop, bad cop? So we have it too. Denzel has the complaints department that he handles, and I'll deal with the compliments. You can't do both. And I wonder if you would consider with me Habakkuk's prayer of faith. Listen for the word. O God, I have heard of your renown. In other words, I know your reputation, and listen to how the prophet responds. He says, as I've heard of your reputation, I stand in awe, O Lord, of your work. Excuse me? Terrible. He goes on in this reading and he says, though the fig tree does not blossom, and the fruit is, then there's no fruit in the vine, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls. Listen to the word that now connects the prayer of faith to the reality of the lament. Just one word, yet. In the Afrikaans, it's so beautiful, it says, steeds. Another translation, Afrikaans, says, nogtans. In other words, irrespective of the reality of struggle, I will find something to rejoice in the Lord for. Amen. And so it says, yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation, God, the Lord of my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he makes me tread upon the heights of my God. Today, friends, is Stewardship Sunday. As a community of faith, we were encouraged, we were challenged to consider prayerfully, thoughtfully, and with clear resolution, what is it that I want to bring to the table of the Lord? How will I contribute in the form of not only money, but in my time, in my talent, in my gifts, to the people of God? So Habakkuk starts with what is considered a complaint, but I want for you to consider the theological definition of a complaint. There isn't a theological definition. The dictionary says it's when you grumble about something that doesn't go your way. But a lament, says the theological dictionary, is a cry from the depth of your being over something you do not have control over. So Habakkuk starts with this lament and he says, God, you need to recognize that things are not good. Habakkuk was particularly interested in the issues of justice or the lack thereof, and understood that injustice as both being an affront to God because it challenges God's character, and B, a challenge to God, which therefore challenges God's authority. What else to do, he asked, with this obscene contrast between A, the profession of faith, and B, by the experience of contrast of the faithful. I want to believe that it's not so much an angry complaint, but a deep lament, crying bewildered because the people of God is not acting as a people of God should. So I wonder if today Habakkuk had to read our newspapers, irrespective of which it was, if he would read and demand of God an explanation. How can you explain that kids are sold? How is that okay? Explain to us, dear God, how many are homeless and they are your children and it's in your created world. Perhaps there will be somebody that will offer a lament and say, you have created all people in your image and yet race and other divides us. You and I need to recognize the complaints are many, the celebration of what is good, very few. And so, people of God, if the imbalances of the scales of justice are observed, shouldn't they be corrected by God? Is God so uninterested in justice or just unable to do anything about it? You and I need to stand on that firm understanding and foundation that our prayer of faith comes at the place where there's a recognition of the struggles of our lives, because the struggles are real. But our God is even greater. And so the Word of God teaches us, greater is he that is within me than they that are in the world. And so, friends, what we are to invite to do is to invite God back into our conversations. We need to admit to God that things aren't going great. But we also recognize that in our struggle, we need to pray until something happens, and include God in our assessment of our world, a world in which Carla Lee, like Leah, and every other child of this church and of the world, deserves proper drinking water, where they can walk to school and not be afraid of being abducted, where they can purchase something from somebody and not be concerned about the possibility of it being laced with drugs. You've got to invite, and through prayer, invite God into the conversation of our living and of our hopes. But I like what the Word of God encourages us to do. Chapter 2, write a vision to God, says the reading, and watch for a word from God. I don't know what the future holds for us as a community. I don't know what the future holds for us in respect of our finances. And you must know that as a leader and as part of an executive and then part of the larger council, that every time that we meet, we agonize, but we do it in a good way where we trust God for what is to be. I don't know what the future holds for us, but I encourage you to wait with me for God's word to us as a church. The Lord answers and says, write a vision, make it plain on the tablets, and make sure that the vision is as plain so that everybody can read it. But I want for you to hear the affirmation towards the end. Because you know that for every vision, there is an appointed time. Hallelujah. And for every word, there is an appointed time. So I pray with you as I invite you to pray with me, that together we will find a world where no one goes hungry, that we will create a world with God where everyone has a roof over their heads, that together we will care for the hearts and the spirits of those, even the ones we don't know, so that all God's children, big and small, can say, thus says the Lord of hosts. I'm not too sure what the word is for us as a church. But as I prepared, this particular word was placed in my spirit. God will supply all our needs. That is God's word, just for today. God will supply all our needs. And so I stand on God's word. The word of this morning says, write your vision, watch for a word from God, because every vision and every word has an appointed time. And so, friends, I pray that you will stand alongside us as the church that knows that we can trust in God, rely on His provision, rely on Him, the sustainer, rely on the way maker, and stand in agreement that the promise keeper says, I will bless you with enough and to spare. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Amen.